ladies and gentlemen. This is Source from the Sofa, the podcast, recording Sunday night, just shy of 8:30, as my Steelers put up a big piece of dog doo-doo on primetime, which is surprising because in the first half, they looked pretty good. They were kind of dominating until the second half of that second quarter, and everything's just now a blur now, just like the mistakes and not capitalizing on opportunities, only getting a couple field goals, and then now the Chargers are just running away, and everyone's going to be praising them for this victory, but they've looked like dog shit, let's face it, for like the last 4 or 5 weeks. But they're going to improve to 7-3. Pittsburgh's going to drop down to 5-4 and in very deep shit trouble because Baltimore picked up a very big win earlier today. Vikings, by the way. I you know, we're going to recap all the NFL, talk a little bit about college football as well. This recap weekend, baby. We'll also talk a little F1. That was a hell of a race, even though I couldn't watch it. I had to watch clips. I had to watch some British guy talk about it on some live feed on Twitch and on Twitter in order to find out what's happening with, like, you know, clips, you know, coming in every once in a while. Thought about signing up for this streaming service online that's, like, pretty cheap. Like, they guarantee every game and every race around the world for $20 a month. And I'm thinking, like, maybe this is what I signed up for. I dropped the YouTube TV, signed up for this one. They offer affiliate, so maybe we can get them as a sponsor. I don't know if you guys want to get a streamer, the sponsor of the pod, that we can push that out. They're guaranteeing $50 if we get people to sign up. I don't know. I had a lot of times on my hands because I had no F1. Wasn't really filling the morning games after what looks like to be a lot of L's. But back to the Vikings. Go ahead.
You put a lot of work in, Rome. I just upgraded my Disney bundle there and just got the ESPN Unlimited and bit the bullet and was able to watch all the festivities down in Brazil for the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. You missed a hell of a race.
I know. And I got to watch more highlights.
You could just switch over to DirecTV, Rome. You know, a little ESPN the deuce and no problems there.
I'm so sick of all this. I knew it was going to happen. All these streaming.
I'll never go back to DirecTV. I have a vendetta.
What happened with you with DirecTV?
Oh, when AT&T bought them, they ruined DirecTV. DirecTV was a great company that AT&T ruined, and the customer service and what you got for the value. I mean, good value now, but the level of customer service to get what you're paying for DirecTV was terrible. And when you cross me, Rome, it's just over. I'll pay more to go somewhere else. AT&T's on the list. That's one of
them. That was me with State Farm. So we got some commonalities here. Except they didn't screw me over. They just got LeBron as a spokesperson. That's totally different.
No, me is valuing customer service. And if you can't give me a simple wish like, hey, you make me bundle my cell phone and my internet and my DirecTV all into one, and then somehow
AT&T
I can't
phone?
At one point I did, not anymore. Oof. I got rid of it all.
Oof, Jesus
because all I
this
asked
for, you,
for
my man.
is to be able to log into the Sunday ticket with a username or password that would not log in, and then being told I'm an idiot because I can't log in, even though the same username or password could log into DirecTV's website, but will not log into the Sunday ticket app. And so we got to put on
off.
Customer complaint. 100%.
That would piss me
and
that
so
would piss
after,
me off.
After 4 times of escalation and not being helped and no one calling me back, I said, hey, you don't want my business? I'm not going to give you anything. So we're good.
Okay. I totally forgot what we were talking about.
I don't know. Recapping weekend.
Talking about recapping everything, Rome. Something about a $20 streamer service, but you didn't name the service. I'm taking it you didn't buy it. Sounds like a little bit shady. $20 for every raise.
The reviews are really hit or miss. People either really like it or they don't like it, or things get canceled.
Sounds like you need a VPN network and all that stuff going on. So
yeah. I'm not really sure what the legalities are for that streaming thing, but yeah, anyways, weird day in the NFL. College football was a mess. New AP rankings came out earlier today as well. Where do you guys want to start? We'll start with football. Do you guys want to talk about this Chargers-Pittsburgh game? Because I'm pretty fucking livid with the results I'm seeing right now.
I mean, I don't really want to talk about it, Rome, but I want to hear your thoughts. I feel you got, you know, we talk a lot about my Bears a lot, and I'm sure we'll talk about them today.
We'll get
but
to your Bears. I have a lot of comments about your Bears.
Okay, cool. Well, why don't we start the show with comments about your Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, I feel like you don't give a lot of Steelers. You know, you are very unbiased hosts. I'll say you don't talk about your team much. I think after this performance in primetime on Sunday night, we need to hear what you think about your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, and three in primetime this year?
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And this has been a black eye in the Mike Tomlin era, just laying up dog shit every time we have a primetime game. It was an ugly game in the first half. Once Aaron Rodgers went down for a safety, I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be one of these games. And I was pissed off since then. So I've been pretty riled up. I don't know if that was in the first quarter or the beginning of the second quarter. But for me, that's when I was like, this guy couldn't do a two-step to the right, two-step to the left. He ran into the defender and got sacked and just fell over like easy dominoes. He did not look mobile today. This is the first time since his Jets days that he's looked his age, if not older. Even with my bum knee, I have more. Actually, I wouldn't say that. I tried playing pickleball yesterday, and I got caught like pretty hard when someone served it pretty well. But, you know, I was moving around left and right, and Aaron Rodgers did not have that. And I don't know what's going on with Metcalf. I made a big trade in fantasy football for Metcalf, and so far it's not panning out. It's not panning out. My daughter was not here. All right. So we've lost every game that she's not with me. I'm not happy about that either, you know? So a lot to be desired with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're in deep shit, man. Baltimore, they didn't play a great game today either by any stretch of the imagination. And I know I'm a JJ McCarthy fan, but I'm not listening to this like alter ego bullshit when you just have like two wins. Okay. I don't give a shit whether you're meditating in the beginning, you know, a little rich white kid stuff. I don't give a shit, dude. Try coming from the hood. All right. No alter ego. Fuck that. All right. And then they had a chance to win that game and didn't come through. I really needed them to come through with the points, you know, at least get a touchdown. So, yeah, Steelers not good. It's not looking good. It's time for a fire sale. Unfortunately, the trade deadline already passed. We should have got a second receiver. We have nobody. We have nobody. We have nothing. Defense, you know, they looked phenomenal last week. This week, they looked great for the first quarter and a half. After that, they're just letting everyone drive by them. You know, so that's it. That's it. Season's over. I think that's over.
Over already? I will say this before, I'm sure Jason's got a lot to comment. I mean, I think this was prelude leading up to the week because Rome on our last pod Thursday was just barking like a dog. He was already getting worked up, and it just kind of carried over as we see right now into the weekend. He's just worked up like a big old bulldog here. Just worked up, man.
Not happy, man.
Rome, I get you're not happy, Rome, but your Steelers are in first place still in the division.
I don't give a shit. You know how many times we've given up first place leads? It's a tradition now.
Listen, Mike Tomlin just needs to get to 9 wins. He's the staple of getting above 500, and he's already more than halfway there. And, you know, the AFC, generally speaking, is the superior conference, and you got all these great quarterbacks. But I don't think it's that good of a conference this year, Rome. I think you got a lot of question marks around this conference. So I'll be honest, like, it doesn't look great. This performance was not great at all. I'll be honest. I was shocked that Rodgers, is he 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions this year? I mean, it's not terrible numbers. Like, nice. There's still something there. I mean, Rome, with all due respect to your pickleball game, I don't think you can move better than Aaron Rodgers around in the pocket. I think he's still got something left in the tank. But I'll say it doesn't look great. Doesn't look great. The Ravens, 2 weeks ago, they were 2-5, and you said they were favored to win the division.
And those odds are only going to go up now more, right? Given that they're 4-5, and Pittsburgh's kind of fallen back to 5-4. So, yeah.
They have. But I think there's still something to fight for, Rome. I know you want to give up. Speaking as a long-suffering fan of an NFL team, I think you can't give up just yet. You got to believe.
By the way, watching your Bears play, man, gave me a heart attack. I'm just like, how can anyone root for this Bears team, dude? This is crazy.
I mean, we'll get into the Bears. I gotta ask because I didn't have the audio on that game. Why weren't they kicking field goals? Like, is something wrong with their kicker? Like, every time they're at the 31, they're like going for it for 4th and 4. It's like, dude, just kick a 50-yard field goal.
It was.
Are you talking about the Bears?
Yeah.
It was the wind. Okay. Because the wind was so bad, and they said on the broadcast, like, neither kicker on either side had anything confidence of anything beyond 40 because of where the ball was, like, going.
Once I figured it had something.
It was pretty windy.
Because I didn't, like I said, I didn't have the audio on that one, and I was like, I mean, like, what the hell's going on? These guys just keep, you know, I think it was the first game in NFL history that, like, three turnovers and downs on, like, the first quarter of a game.
Yeah, I think they looked at they didn't understand exactly what the wind was going to be doing. And so anything beyond 40, they basically were saying they are going to go for it, or it's going to be some sort of strategic punt or whatever it might have been. So, yeah, that was the elements. You know, I know a lot of people don't like that type of football. To me,
I like it.
That's the real football, man. You get to this time of year in the Midwest and in the Northeast, we get snow, we get wind, the elements come into play.
Why, we got a 95 degree weather out here in SoCal today?
Oh, it's terrible. This place is, you know,
it was,
and we got
burning
rain,
alive.
We got rain coming, what, Wednesday, Thursday?
It was warm up here. Yeah, I heard it was blazing hot in Santa Clara in that little tin fish thing. Pretty hot here in Cali. All right. So we started out in Berlin, which Atlanta came out pretty hot. And people were jumping on Daniel Jones right from the get-go on X and on Threads. But then Daniel Jones, bloody lip and all, brought them back. Him and his trusty sidekick, probably, in my opinion, the MVP front runner, Taylor, dominating with 3 rushing touchdowns and got them back to winning formation. Unfortunately, I had them in the 6.5 to cover, and that hook cost me because there's no extra kicks in overtime, is there, guys?
So, only if you score on the first possession, Rome. So they would have scored first, you kick the extra point, then Atlanta has a chance to do that. Once
right.
it comes to second possession, any score after that is a win. So they don't, that they're not going right. to take an extra point.
Yeah. We started there, but besides that, I thought it was a pretty gritty, gutsy comeback from behind performance. Atlanta, we talked about this, which team is going to show up. Obviously, a way better version showed up this week, but besides that, though, best wins, best losses, or biggest losses. Jason, I'll let you pick which way you want to go first.
Well, I don't want to jump off this game really quick. I don't know if you could say that Jonathan Taylor is the sidekick in this tandem with Daniel Jones, because, it, as you're saying, he could be in the MVP conversation.
He's
right
bad,
now.
Man.
Massive runs put them into this game because I think it was down, you know, early for the Falcons going in the game. But I just want to make sure. I know we're going to talk about quarterbacks when it gets to MVP all the time, and I'm sure, you know, Jonathan Taylor will get pushed to the side because it's only quarterbacks generally to win this award. But what he means to that team and his performance so far this year is pretty incredible. You think 244 yards in this game, just insane. But all right, would you ask me biggest win now?
You want to go biggest win or biggest loss, ass whooping in the week?
I would say biggest win, I think I won a game with some stakes and where things are at. And Aaron may have talked about this before we started recording, was when you're talking with, you know, some of the best teams in the league. To me, the Patriots beating the Buccaneers, that's a showdown of two teams that are supposed to be going into the playoffs. And I think what they got out of Henderson in that game, we've been waiting to go through. I think the defense from the Patriots, what they stacked up even in that game, you had offensive performance on, I think, on both sides. Baker's able to find his rookie wide receiver pretty much anywhere. That guy, I'm not going to mispronounce his name. What is it, Aaron?
Amika Egbuka.
Egbuka.
Okay.
I mean, he was great in the game, but I think the Patriots, when you see this run that they're going on right now, just continues to be impressive. I mean, think 12 months ago where this team was, and even like the last, what, 3-4 years post Brady, of how the Patriots have looked, and they are competitive in all of these games. They win the games they should. They've gone into Buffalo and won a close game. They go down to Tampa Bay and win this game. Like, winning big games on the road, I mean, that's the test of a true, like, really good team. And, you know, there's, we've been waiting for the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Bills to kind of take this, you know, conference, this is going to be the AFC Championship game. We long talked about it, but that win, putting them at 8-2 right now, I think they're a real 8-2. Unlike Rome, I think you're pretty much calling the Broncos frauds at 8-2, but I think this has been an 8-2 in a run of however it was, six straight wins or seven straight wins, whatever it was. This has been an impressive run. Seven now. And this one, I think this is like a cherry on top of an impressive run to do another big road win.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that's got to be the biggest win. I mean, we kind of questioned the Patriots. You know, they had a couple games against some teams that are not so good. Impressive three-game road win streak that they had. They've now won at Buffalo and won at Tampa Bay. Those are not easy places to play. I know Buffalo's been kind of up and down. Tampa's been banged up. But to win seven in a row with a quarterback that's basically partially still like in his first year, given he only played, what, maybe 9-10 games last year. We're only 9-10 games into this year. They're looking really good. They are looking really good at finding playmakers, but I'm more impressively, that defense has been really good. They've turned it around. The players that they've gotten to bring in, they've panned out so far. They are, like Jason mentioned, a real threat. I think I mentioned to you, Rome, they got to be in your top four in the new Power Eight because they are just that good right now with big wins on the road. I mean, looking at their schedule right now, they've got, what do they got? Got the Jets, Cincinnati, and the Giants. So you could be looking at a team that's going 11-2 going into their bye when it's all said and done. That's pretty impressive.
100%. Yeah, Henderson had a big game. .147, two touchdowns. It's not like the Bucs didn't do well either. It was kind of like a heavyweight fight, at least for the first half. You know, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Patriots going up. Tez Johnson showed up. Amika Mbuka had a great game. Baker Mayfield, three touchdowns. But Patriots look nice. They
look nice. Got Tez Johnson on your team, Rome?
Well, I had Nico and I had DK Metcalf starting, so there was no room for Tez, and I wish I had him in the starting lineup because DK has not done anything for me.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks Tez, for bringing that up.
I knew you had him based off your enthusiasm. I figured he wasn't in your lineup.
Yeah, no.
Two touchdowns today.
Yeah. So, big win though. Any other nominees, Aaron?
For big win or big loser today?
I'll do another big win first. Let's get some big wins here.
I would say if we're looking at big wins, you got to go with the Ravens, right? I mean, Cincinnati's on a bye. The Steelers and Browns both losing the division. Everyone was on the road, and you go and get a road game victory. You're now, what, one game out from taking that division lead. They're getting healthy. Their stock is on the rise. Rome, you just went on a 5-minute rant about how the Steelers are done and they're on the decline. So, yeah, I mean, if you're the Ravens, you got to be feeling really, really good. You get Cleveland, the Jets, and Cincinnati, followed by Pittsburgh, Cincinnati again. So they should win four of those next five games, barring, you know, injuries and whatnot. But it's shaping up pretty nicely for them. So that was a nice win against Minnesota, who's, you know, J.J., played okay. They had eight false starts on offense at home. I don't really put the loss on him. They just had a lot of mental errors, fumbles on kickoffs, and
some nice throws,
capitalize,
man,
on it. Yeah, I mean, Jefferson really nice dropped throws. A touchdown. He hit him.
Yeah.
So I saw some things I like from him, but for the Ravens, getting that defense kind of back together, that was a real mess. They went into the bye week, got Lamar healthy. They've kind of turned it around there, and offensively, they're looking good. I mean, they were averaging almost 40 points a game before he went out anyways for that injury. So the Ravens are a real threat as a sneaky team. Heck, if they win the division, you know they're going to host a home game. So it's going to be tough to beat those guys if they can host a home game in the playoffs.
I'll give you guys a couple big wins. Texans, I thought, was a big win against the Jags coming back from behind. I had the Texans D and I didn't put them in. But like I mentioned, one of the highest scoring defenses in the NFL. They got their hands up, deflected, provided pressure. Really took control of that second half. That allowed them to come back from behind.
Well, they get that late pick six that really helped if you had their defense, Rome. I mean, it was a fluke play. But
it was.
It happens.
Another big win, I would say, would be the Colts. You know, Falcons. They're good. They're not good, but it's still a very talented team. They've had some pretty surprising wins. This was looking like it was going to be another, like, okay, let's take them seriously again. But the Colts delivered when they had to. All the marks of a really good team. People were jumping off Daniel Jones' bandwagon really fast in the first quarter on X, on all the socials. But he helped bring them back along with Jonathan Taylor with his 3 touchdowns and 240 on the ground. Complete beast. Tyler Warren, per usual, being a nice scapegoat for Jones on the outside. The other couple games I want to do are big wins, but ass whooping. What's the Seahawks, dude? Seahawks laid an ass whooping. And yeah, I thought it was actually going to be pretty competitive, and it was not. Ass whooping, another ass whooping, and this is the Rams on the 49ers. I text a whole bunch of people. I know I took the Niners, but for straight up, today I was texting people like, you know what? Nah. After I talked to some people, I'm like, you know what? Rams are going to probably want to get back after taking that L early in the season when everyone was injured on the Niners, and they brought it to them, man. There was no chance in hell the Niners were coming back, and a lot of that was in garbage time. That was an ass whooping. And then as well as the Dolphins at the Bills, they just put it on the Bills. And that's two games now this year that the Bills have come out straight up flat and not performing up to standards.
Yeah, I don't know what topic we're doing anymore, Rome, because you just named these are ass kickings of the week. I would have nominated the Bills losing to the Dolphins as the ass kicking of the week, because you cannot come out like this if you're the Bills, if you're a team that's hoping to win the Super Bowl and even get to the Super Bowl, just a starting point of the team that's been on the cusp and can't get past the Ravens or the Chiefs every year. And you get this big win in prime time against the Chiefs, and you got a lowly Dolphins team that's just struggling and where it's at. And you put up this performance, and especially in light of the Patriots being as good as they are right now, you're going to have the showdowns with them. Aaron, you mentioned it's coming up, right? Patriots and
yeah, let's
Bills,
see. We got Patriots week 15. So we're about a month out.
So
after,
you know,
their
bye, showdown,
Patriots come out and have and host Buffalo.
Well, I mean, so that works out even better for the Patriots there with their bye. So I just think that's the ass whipping of the week. Out of anything, I think it's the worst loss of the week. Even you mentioned going back to the Texans-Jags. I don't think that's a big win for the Texans as much as it's a terrible loss for the Jags. The Texans are pretty much out of it, and the Jags at 5-3 before this game were to try to keep pace with Indianapolis and be with some of the contenders in the AFC. You dropping back to 5-4. You're is two 500 teams that ain't going to make a dent compared to what's the rest of the AFC in the playoff title thing. So I think it's just a big blown game for the Jags and probably kills their momentum where they could be for the season. Yeah, I think you're right on the Niners, you know, and the Rams. The Rams, they probably got to be up in your top two in best teams in the NFL, maybe number one when you come to the power rankings. The Niners' defense, it just ain't great. Same as my Bears. I think they got what they can do on an offense, but defense, they're just getting ran through. They just don't got the guys right now, and you can only do some smoke and mirrors so much. And when it comes to the Rams offense, man, they just got a lot of different ways. I think they have three tight ends involved in that offense. You got Stafford doing no-look passes to people and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's a really good offense. McVay, always been one of my favorite coaches in the league. They've gotten some of this rebuilding done since they won the Super Bowl as some of the personnel has kind of turned over. They still have a pretty solid defense, but yeah, it's pretty unstoppable team. But all of them, you think ass whipping. But I think the Bills, that one hurts the most. Worst loss and biggest ass whipping there to me.
Aaron, was that the worst loss? Or you got any other nominees for that one?
I mean, yeah, Buffalo's up there. I think another bad loss after I jumped on the bagwagon again is Carolina.
Oh, dude,
I mean, you got Carolina losing at home against a bad Saints team, not even showing up. They get 7 points. Look flat.
Are they Atlanta number two?
Well, they play Atlanta next week, so we're going to find out which one's real and which one's not after that 30-0. You know, what was it, week two? They beat those guys. But, yeah, I mean, this was a chance to get to 6-4 for Carolina. Yep. Tampa Bay loses in the division. They drop to 6-3, I believe, with that loss. So this was a big, big game for Carolina, and they just came out just flat. They really got nothing going. That was a huge loss at home. I think, you know, that's going to be one team. Whoever wins the division is getting to the playoff. That's it. One and done. Agree with Jason, Buffalo. I think Jacksonville is a huge loss. They're not going to win the division. I don't see they're catching Indianapolis, but they're trying to stay ahead of the Chiefs, stay paced with the Chargers, now at 7 wins for a wild card spot, considering that division is going to get at least 2, maybe 3 teams in with the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos, all likely headed towards 9-10 wins. So you got to try to get that. So, I mean, yeah, Bills, Jaguars, Panthers, all losing. Those were bad losses this week. But Buffalo, for sure. Now you're two games behind, or a game and a half, whatever it is. And you got to go to New England. And New England, since they finished, what, last year in the division, they got the easiest schedule remaining. So it's setting up real nice for them. I don't think they're going to let off the gas. They're a young team, likely going to win 12 games at a minimum.
Yeah, Bills might be the biggest loss besides the Steelers.
Yeah, it's not a good loss for them either.
Not a good loss. All right, we kind of touched on every game, more or less. Really close games, really fascinating games. Jets and Browns was actually pretty entertaining. I was not planning on having that as part of the four-game mix. But once I saw that they were up, I'm like, I have to see what the hell is going on. And I don't know if you saw the stat, though. It was something like something crazy, like 2 yards of like offense in one of the quarters. It's pretty crazy. They pull out their second win in a row. And then Giants-Bears. Giants losing another one when they were up by at least 10 points with less than 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Jason, I know you shared some tweet. I saw some other people tweeting about it, how Giants, the first team in history, correct me if I'm wrong, to have like a 90%+ probability to win the game and straight up lose it. So, Aaron, since you're a big Giants head coach backer, does he deserve to still keep his job?
Yes. I mean, let's just be honest. If Jackson Dart doesn't get hurt, are they losing this game? Maybe not. I think the real question for me for Dable is, why does he keep bringing Russell Wilson in? Where's Jameis Winston? Why is this guy not coming in? I mean, Russell Wilson, as soon as he came in the game, I knew the Bears are going to win. I mean, if I had like $1,000, I would have went to the live bet and could bet the Bears money line at plus whatever. Because as soon as Russell Wilson comes in, it's a disaster. It's a nightmare. The guy has like zero confidence. He's hands done. Off first and second down and throws it 50 yards down the field, but he can't throw it down the field because Jason said it's windy, so he can't even complete a pass. And then, Dable got, why he was kicking a field goal. I mean, he's kicking a field goal because Russell Wilson can't give him any points. He's just hoping the defense can hold on, and they just can't. They can't hold on. I mean, that 33-0 or what is it, 26-0 lead that they blew against the Broncos, that one's going to hurt them. I mean, the Dallas game, that was just a wild shootout. And then you have this game against the Bears. We talked about it. I mean, what do they even have skilled players offensively? Lou Scadaboo, Neighbors. I mean, they should have won this game. I mean, Jackson Dart, bad turnover again. He's had some bad turnovers. You can't put that on coaching, fumbling the ball. That's basic 101. Tuck the ball in tight, take the contact, go down.
They're exposing him too much, though.
He's gonna get fired, but he'll get hired somewhere else, at least as an OC, and maybe he comes back as a head coach. But yeah. I think the writing's on the wall that he's going to be out in New York, and we'll see who ends up going there.
Jason.
Yeah, Aaron's absolutely right. I think I asked this very beginning of the year of where Jameis was at, because I think he should have been the starter right away instead of Jackson Dart. And I know Jackson Dart's done some great stuff, but why Jameis isn't even dressed to be the backup at this point and we're putting Russell Wilson on, don't understand that. I usually don't like to criticize like the coaches on who's starting, not starting, because they see them in practice, but I don't know what you're getting out of Russell Wilson. There is the moment, I don't even remember which play it was, but it looked like he was in slow motion watching Russell Wilson try to run up the middle, and the Bears player just grabbed him and pulled him backwards before he got it. If it was Jackson Dart, it probably would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, we saw what Jackson Dart was doing when he ran up the middle. He's getting first downs and touchdowns.
100%.
And Russell Wilson gets 1 yard.
Yeah.
A friend
of mine texted me. He's like, because he just wanted to be a troll, asking who's better, Jackson Dart or Caleb Williams in that game. And he's just trying to troll me. But, Jackson Dart's run a lot. And he's sort of the stats. He's like, Jackson Dart's only run twice. I'm like, it feels like he's running more. But this is the type of thing where these guys run and they don't, do things the smart way when they're running in the NFL. Not only did he fumble that ball, but that's the ball he got. That was the play he got concussed on. Yes. And really why he lost the game. So, we talked about Jaden with this. I don't know if it was our preview episode, last week or the post game. These guys that run and do these different things and take the hits in the NFL and maybe are not built for it. I know Jackson Dart's got to just kind of bravado, and he's got this toughness thing they were talking about with his dad and the way things are out there. It's all great and all, but man, all these guys are huge and everyone's really fast. And so if you're going to be the franchise quarterback, that's the one position you need to protect and be out there. And today would have been the perfect examples. Yeah, I think the game was over and the Giants were going to win. Him going out and Russell Wilson being in there gave the Bears all the ammunition to go through. Aaron's right. Daboll is a good coach. I just don't know if he falls in that thing. Is he a great offensive coordinator and never going to be a good head coach? I don't know. Because what Ben Johnson's delivering right now is, I had a question on him, was like, oh, is he just a scheme guy? Rome, quit shaking your head.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Hey, they're missing him in Detroit. We'll get into that.
Yeah. The commentary on Ben Johnson going into this was, he's just a scheme guy. He's not a leader of men stuff. Well, you know, you can watch as many post-game videos of Ben Johnson with these guys after they win a game. And Ben Johnson is a leader of men. And the Bears have had a lot of questionable games that under Matt Eberflus and other bad head coaches that were close one possession games, they lost those games. This year, they are winning those games. And I think that's where coaching does matter. So if you're telling me these three games where Daboll had like a 99% chance of probability of winning the games and they've blown all of them, I think there was four times in the fourth quarter they've had a 10-point-plus lead or something this year and they've lost all of those games, you know, that is some coaching. Now, there's player performance, but there's some coaching element to that too. And I think those are the questions that I think need to be answered, whether, you know, Daboll keeps his job or loses his job and gets another opportunity. Like, those are those head coach things that comes into it, and guys being cool under pressure. I mean, we talked about the Gannon thing from a couple weeks ago when he, you know, punches, you know, DeMarcado or whatever it was. Like, a lot of coaches, the best ones are the ones that almost have no emotion when things are going up and down during the game, and they save it till after the game. And some of it also becomes decisions on where these guys are at doing. And one close games like this, some of the decisions Daboll is doing comes into question. And that's just where it goes to go. Because I think the Giants definitely should have won this game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Daboll has got to be questioned because two of those three losses, the quarterback in the fourth quarter with a 10-point lead is Russell Wilson. I mean, the Giants game, you know, we talked early in the pod, I think after week one, Rome, I buried Russell Wilson. I said he was done. He came out week two. He threw for like 455 yards, looked great. And then week three, the real Russell Wilson showed up and he was done. That was it. It was a wrap. They wanted him out. He comes in this game again, just looks terrible, looks lost, just trying to run out to the right, throw it away, run in the middle. Like Jason said, gets tackled for 1-2 yard play. The same plays that Jackson Dart was executing, Russell Wilson was not even close to executing. So, but again, we're not at practice, like Jason said. Why is he the number two? You know, is maybe something wrong with Jameis Winston that he's just not? Is he hurt? Because he seems to be coaching up more. I don't know. Is he there more for a mentor role? They didn't even try to trade him at the trade deadline from what I heard. So I really don't know what his role is there. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to, like you said, coaching. That's going to be part of it. If you go back to the Broncos game, they had that game won. Jackson Dart threw a bad, bad interception that led to like a pick six late in that game that really got the Broncos back in it. But yeah, you got to definitely take blame and accountability for pitting what players you have active on your roster in that position when all three of us, I think, on this panel will agree Russell Wilson has no business suiting up on Sundays anymore.
Okay. Yeah, they got to take better care of Jackson Dart. That's for sure. Because people are just dropping like flies. And he doesn't have the same stature as an Allen or a Mahomes. So we'll see what happens there. You said you want to make some comments about Ben Johnson being with Chicago with the Lions. Go ahead, man.
I mean, well, Rome, I mean, Jason brings up Ben Johnson. You started shaking your head and we're already, what, not even halfway in the year. I left a comment on the board and said, look, Dan Campbell's already demoting his OC. And he's calling plays himself. He's demoted him. Anytime a coach takes over play calling duties, you've been demoted. That's just the bottom line. I don't care what any coach or anybody says. They know it. Jason knows it. You know it. You just don't want to admit it.
I wasn't really sure when he started taking over during today's games because they were already well ahead.
It looks like the whole time. The whole time in the announcing crew, they're like, hey, man, it looks like Dan Campbell's calling in plays. And then at halftime, hey, we need a spark.
They had 41 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, just pretty much on cruise control after that. So when you made that comment, it's like, do they still score a shitload of points? And it was just like on cruise control. But
well, my thing about this, you're talking about an offense that, I mean, wasn't exactly struggling over the past like month and a half or so. So conveniently, he's going to take over the play calling duty when they're playing a down and out Commanders team that's just reeling and has no, you know, quarterback. And so, yeah, it looked really good for him to take it over right now, you know, when it's an easier opponent. So it's his team. He can do what he wants, but Aaron's exactly right. Like, why is he taking over the play calling duty when it comes to this game versus the Commanders? The real test is going to be next week against the Eagles. And so we'll see what it comes into then. But yeah, it's there. I guess something going on behind the scenes that he doesn't like what he was seeing, but you know, it was never a question when Ben Johnson was there, who was calling the plays.
The only bad game they've had was the no show last week against the Vikings. That was it.
They've had three bad games, and they were all losses. They did not look good against the Chiefs, and they definitely didn't show up for game one against the Packers. So, I mean, I know when we talked about it in our preseason preview, we brought up, you know, why I wasn't high on Detroit. I think Jason wasn't as high as everyone else was. We talked about the changeover in the coaching staff. I did not believe in this coaching staff. And clearly Dan Campbell doesn't either, from what I've been seeing on the sidelines today.
I think it's a big overreaction.
I don't think so. Like Jason said, this was a top five team in offense to remove him from calling play duties against a Commanders team who they still would have scored 30 points with the other guy calling plays at least.
Yeah.
That says a lot. That says a lot, because basically from what it looks like, from what the announcers are saying, they don't believe this OC is calling the plays to get Williams and their other playmakers the ball in space and setting them up for positioning plays to make the plays they need to score points, and we'll see. And there's talk. My sources tell me there's a lot of disconnect between the offensive coaching staff.
We'll monitor it, because they did score a hell of a lot of points today. It looked really nice. Looked like the Lions of old. Let's take a step back. We still have the Monday night game tomorrow, right? Monday, Eagles and Packers. So lots at stake there. Both are leading their respective divisions. I think you, Aaron, and Jason, you guys have the Eagles. I took the pack. I'm not sure how I'm feeling about that. I am facing a football fantasy team that has Jordan Love as their quarterback. So a little nervous if he does actually have a big game. I'm hanging on to a victory by a thread.
I just love in the podcast. For me, it always comes back to the Bears. For Rome, it always comes back to his fantasy team for you know, whatever $50 buy-in league he's playing in right now.
Yeah. I
don't know what Jordan Love's going to do. I mean,
yeah,
with Kraft being out for them, that's a big injury for the Packers.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. But pretty big stuff, though. It's really tight in your guys' NFC North. It is super tight. Bears, surprising at 6-3. The most underwhelming 6-3 probably out there, but credit to Johnson for doing a hell of a job. And Caleb, they were kind of rocking him too on socials earlier today until he got them that victory with that run. I was about to text you, Jason. I'm pretty sure you were cheering around when he got that final touchdown run. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, which is hilarious that people were actually going at Caleb who weren't actually watching the game, because his receivers had like six drop passes in the game. That was the
Rome had a few drop
passes. Rome and Zacchaeus had like three or four or something like that too. So in the game, so like, and one of them was for a touchdown. So there, I think it was the most drop passes by a receiving core in a game so far this year.
Sorry, man, I'm so dehydrated.
No, you're good. I thought you had a point to make. But hydration's healthy. You want to make sure on there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Caleb. I mean, the Bears season is always a referendum on Caleb. He is not the problem with this team. The defense is the problem with this team. The Bears have a not great defense, and they'll put the stats up every time. The Bears will win if the defense gets turnovers. If they don't get turnovers, the Bears are going to lose. And that's the simplest as that, because the defense gives up tons of yards. I don't know how many third and forevers have been converted against this Bears defense this year. So any conversation online about Caleb, people just want to hate or not actually watching what's actually going on in this game, because he is engineering fourth quarter comebacks, you know, on a weekly basis right now. And overall, the offense, I'll just say, if they're saying a negative about the offense, it just doesn't click all the time. There is not a rhythm. They make big plays. They have, you know, Ben Johnson knows how to design guys open. They have big runs going into the week. They were number two in the league
in big plays.
They were number two behind the Colts. And okay. So I don't know where that stands right now. But yeah, they make big plays, but it goes drive to drive, and the offense just never has like the rhythm it's supposed to. And penalties have been a big part of the Bears game.
That's fine. It's your one.
It is. And so I think there's still more to build on this. The offensive line, not getting enough credit for what's going on with the Bears offensive. They may have like one of the top two tackles in the game with Darnell Wright. He was basically pushing Burns around, who's a top tier defensive end for the Giants in this game. You know, you're not going to see anyone talking about offensive line play, but that's another big thing for this Bears success. But the defense is bad, and that's what's going to come down to. If you look at the end of the year, the Week 17 matchup, Bears, Niners, up by you, Rome, in the Bay Area. That could be a playing game for the playoffs right now against two teams that have not great defenses and pretty good offenses.
I might have to go to that game. It's pretty fun. Well, you got some separation now in the NFC West with the Rams beating the Niners. So two game for the Niners, and then the two guys on top. Bucks, luckily, the Panthers losing. So everyone's losing in that NFC South. So Bucks have a comfortable lead. On the American side, Pats just taking advantage of it. Bills falling over their own feet, but that's still going to be tight, so we'll see how that comes around. AFC North, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the order of losses. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns. Browns, tough loss today against the Jets. I think we can cross them off if we haven't already. I'll let you guys decide that one.
I think they've been dead for a while, the Browns.
I think me and Jason officially took off the Giants last week, right, Jason? Because they were still on the hanging around pile.
We were talking about it. I thought we needed Aaron's consensus on this. No. But yeah, I think
You got it now. I ain't got no more water in the fire hydrant. It's out. It's out, man. Get that fire out.
They're still exciting, though, man. They're still playing for their coach.
Yeah, so I mean, they're exciting, but they're not going to the playoffs. They're not making it now.
Dude, where is the list? All right. Anyways, Colts, nice, comfortable lead over the Jags. It's kind of muddled up in the middle of there. And then the AFC West, Broncos are leading it, 8-2. Chargers, big win today, man, beating a pretty good Steelers team, 7-3. And they have a lead on the Chiefs and whatever's left of the Raiders. Any final comments on the NFL?
I'm good.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little college football. All right, time to recap a little college football. We just wrapped up week 11. We're recording Sunday night right after all the NFL games. New AP rankings came out. College football updated playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. I've seen a lot of people's rankings that they're doing on their own on X. A lot of people have Texas A&M as the number one team. That seems to be like the people's choice of the number one team in the country, followed by Ohio State and then Indiana. A lot of debate on whether Notre Dame belongs in the top 10. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that they don't belong in there at all.
Who are these people?
They're making some valid arguments.
Miami fans are driving valid
arguments
fan
there.
Yeah, okay. Miami's driving that hard. Yeah,
Maybe they should tell Miami Twitter to show up and actually play a football game. They've looked terrible for the last month. Terrible.
Miami has more quality wins, but they do have two big losses. You know, the way they broke it down, I was like, okay, interesting. The source for the Sofa X account might have made a few comments on a few people's profiles and kind of drive some engagement here. But exciting.
As in favor of Notre Dame or not?
No, we're just poking the bear, man. That's it.
Okay.
We don't give any sides, any favoritism on the socials. That's the rules. But let's recap week 11, though. Thoughts, overarching themes, sentiments. I know we did not do so hot in our Westgate Super Contest picks. I didn't even bother checking to see how your picks did, Aaron, on the pod from last week.
Games of the week went 4-5 last week, Rome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Locks were 2-1 again. So
okay.
That's basically been a lock 2-1 every week for like 6 of the 8. 2-1
has been a lock. That's a winning formula, bro. I love that.
Maybe we should just throw those locks in the group play because it's at least two wins. I guess yeah. You did throw Texas A&M in there, so that was our lock of the week.
Yeah. The hell was I talking about? Wait, how many wins did we get this week?
For as a group?
Westgate contest?
Yeah.
Yeah, two.
It was just my two picks?
Yes.
Okay. What were the other losses?
Everything that I picked, which is why I'm sitting this segment out. I shouldn't be talking about College Football Room.
We lost. Jason had James Madison. That loss.
That was some crap. Was that like a half pointer again?
1.5, I think. They won. 1.5. They won by 12.
They won by 12. Yeah, I think it was 13.5.
It was 13.5. Okay.
Yeah, Oregon. Yeah. Oregon. Nice comeback by Iowa there because it was 15-7. Iowa with a nice rally in the fourth quarter. And then the game I did mention, I did fade Washington. I did take Wisconsin in my own personal selection. I wasn't feeling Washington. The other two, I really liked Oregon. James Madison, I talked to another guy. He liked them as well. But Washington was the other one Jason had. So that one, that was a weird game. I mean, I don't know how Wisconsin won that game with five different quarterbacks basically doing nothing, just a defensive battle. In the snow, basically. It was like in Chicago weather. So
Wisconsin, dude, I'm telling you, man. They perform when you don't expect it. Texas A&M, they look really great. Miami, big win over Syracuse. Oregon, barely escaping. I thought Iowa had a pretty good chance of upsetting Oregon in that one. Vanderbilt, I don't know why. I didn't watch too much of that game against Auburn, but they come
really
out
good
with
game.
Big,
that was a really good game, though.
California upset Louisville. That was surprising.
Rome, I know you've been holding a lot of clips of me on California. You might as well release them now because I've been telling you all year I've liked Cal.
Yeah,
they've been hit and miss. Like basically, they're like the Carolina Panthers. You just don't know what you're going to get from them week to week, but. They show up with the biggest upset, I think, of the weekend, beating Louisville as almost a 3-touchdown underdog.
Pretty big upset, man. That was pretty surprising. I was kind of surprised Notre Dame beat Navy as bad as they did.
CJ Carr's really good.
How come you guys didn't pick them as part of the picks then? What was the spread on that one?
26.5.
Yeah, it was a big spread.
Because a lot of people had Navy covering.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a spread that big, and then it was snowing too during that game as well, and so now we're talking the element stuff going into it. CJ Carr is really good. I mean, I think not going to win the Heisman this year, but next year he's going to be the preseason. I think Jeremiah Love for Notre Dame might win the Heisman this year if none of these quarterbacks start taking it, because he had one of the more insane runs you'll see. I think he was tackled by three Navy guys, but he never actually was on a knee or his back. He was like on top of them. Got up.
Oh, I did see that replay. That was crazy.
Yeah, he ran like 57 yards for a touchdown. Like, he's been unreal this year. I know it's hard for a running back to win the Heisman against quarterbacks, but I don't know the quarterback could stand above and beyond, and it could be, yeah.
This is a good year because it's just what they got saying as, like, the leading candidate now.
Who's the leading candidate?
The freshman out of Ohio State.
I think he's up there. The quarterback from
Mendoza
Bama?
Out of Indiana.
And I think the Bama quarterback, right? Ty Simpson's up there as well.
Yeah, everyone else is kind of taking themselves out, like including Beck. He's kind of lost his footing.
Yeah, Beck's done. He's
Manning.
He's
been
Dante.
Done.
Manning was done week one.
Manning was done week one. Yeah. Although now they're back in top 10 rankings, and I'm feeling a bunch of mixed emotions about that one. I will say, though, the game of the week for me, which was so exciting, was Indiana Penn State. It was such a good game, especially since I don't have any ESPN and ABC right now. That was basically the only game I can really watch. And I'm glad it was the only option because that's my favorite broadcast team. I just cannot watch Big Noon Kickoff. It's just not the same, man. It is just not the same. But
Big Noon Kickoff is a terrible show.
It's bad. It's douchey.
What's it rating wise compared to College Game Day? Do you have the numbers?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's on the same time as College Game Day. So I'd be curious what the ratings are.
It gets, I don't know what it is, but it's getting close. That's a big thing. Like, it's coming for College Game Day stuff. But, you know, it's on basic TV versus a cable network. And so it's got that advantage, and it does have some star stuff, but yeah, I think Rome sums it up. Actually, it's not the broadcast I'm going to watch for a pregame. I think McAfee's been great for ESPN. I think Saban gets a different personality on that. I really enjoyed that broadcast, but yeah, Rome, I think you're right about the Indiana Penn State game. That was entertaining. It's a shame Penn State has fallen into where they were at, because I think if Franklin would have been there, and this would have been a more, game that was fighting for a playoff seed. I mean, it's crazy. Penn State is 0-6 in the Big Ten right now. Just crazy where this team was like 6 weeks ago.
Dude, like, I'm watching the game and like, yeah, this team that's showing up, this is why they were ranked really high this year. And it seemed like they put together some pretty big plays, and they had Indiana on the ropes, man. Indiana came back with the most insane come from behind victory, that touchdown grab, just like tippy toeing, and Gus Johnson just losing his voice, screaming at it. It was pretty wild. I'm pretty sure Indiana was really happy to escape, with that victory, because it could have just made things complicated, or just like that blemish. But it was really fun game. It was really fun.
Yeah, Rome. I mean, it had everything. I mean, Indiana had just been rolling through people. I mean, they just rolled UCLA. Maryland. So these guys have been crushing. You already know they like to crush people. That's what they go out and do. I didn't watch really the first half of that game. I was watching a few other games, and then
He did not have a great game.
I mean, well, Penn State's, has a good defense. I mean, they came in, preseason ranked number two, whereas all the way, to number two when Oregon went in there and beat them in a close game. So we know they can compete and play well. Even since they got rid of Franklin, I think they're 0-3, and they lost, to Iowa by 1 point, and now Indiana by 4. So it's not like they've been bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, college football has shown us, if anything, you can fall from the top pretty quick if you're not careful. Penn State this year, Florida State last year. So, yeah, if you're not careful, you can fall from the top ranking to the bottom within a season.
Did you guys catch any games that caught your eye for any particular reason, or you guys want to go straight to the rankings? Talk that a little bit.
Not a game that caught my eye, but I wanted Aaron's thought on this particular game, USC versus Northwestern.
Oh, and are you going to talk about that play?
Oh, I'm going to talk about that play.
People are not happy about it.
USC up to some shenanigans.
Bush League. Bush League stuff.
Yeah, they got a quarterback wearing the same number as their punter that apparently on the official roster, the quarterback is listed, Heward is listed as 7, but on the game day roster, they switched him to 80. And so
shady shit, dude.
Very shady. And this comes off the heels, I think, of 2 or 3 weeks prior where they listed a guy out on an injury report and then suited him up at halftime.
Wow.
So,
is that a game against Notre Dame? They try to pull that shenanigans or what?
I don't remember what it was at. Let me see if I can find the guy that tweeted this and put this on there. But yeah, so I think the total fines for these two incidents are $5,000 overall. So
should be a lot more than that.
Everybody said how it's been allowed, like that play is allowed, and then the Big Ten came out like this is not allowed.
Well, we've seen a lot of this stuff going on, Rome. I mean, we brought up, about a month ago, remember Oklahoma did the old sideline fake going off? The guy doesn't go off for Oklahoma. So maybe, Lincoln Riley coming from Oklahoma. So maybe something's still brewing in the water where you got a little cheat code somewhere stashed where you just open up the old.
It wasn't even necessary, though. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch that game because I was watching Tulane-Memphis because we did say Tulane was going to upset Memphis.
Yeah.
We were right on that. I called a lot of upsets, Rome. I didn't get a lot of games right, but I called Tulane to upset Memphis, and I said Hawaii would not upset San Diego State, and they just beat the drum out of those guys 38-6. So, unfortunately, I didn't have that in our group play. I did have that in my own personal selection, but, okay. I get to choose 7 games there, not 2 to 3 a week, so I got a little more leg work.
So you save your own upsets and locks for your own personal record.
I did.
What's the comparison between ours and your personal one right now? Are you beating us in the singles? Because for a while we were up on the group one versus your personal one.
I have passed you. Yes.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, you should. I've been given away. I think I'm 0-5.
I did take Wisconsin, so I did take that one.
That's hilarious, dude. Yeah, Tulane. That was kind of surprising. Kind of makes things complicated for the group of five now, because now you got a couple guys.
South Florida looks 25. Like they're back in it, right?
South Florida's back in. Memphis is getting a lot of love. They were like the committee's like first in kind of conversation. I believe Tulane is still in the conversation as well. People are, I guess they didn't. Someone tweeted like, we're barely in year two of the playoffs and the system's already broken. And someone also tweeted, I got to start saving these, but people are commenting like, they don't think a lot of the population, like the general population, doesn't really know that the playoff is just a playoff just for the SEC, the Big Ten. A lot of people don't know.
No, well, it's so obvious it was that. And I know like some of these fan bases, you know, want to talk. It was 100% obvious that these are the two big money conferences that we're going to own and run this tournament. And at this point, like, you're going to have at some point some realignment in the next 5 years where these two conferences probably buy more teams, where eventually it just turns into an invitational between these two conferences owning football, because, you know, Florida State wants to get out of the ACC. Miami wants to get out of the ACC. They want Notre Dame to pick a conference and to go to. And so you're going to see probably more and more in this, but it's funny that they're coming at it. But I think Miami's the one that's just caught me the most out of this, because they're so mad after their terrible two losses and how bad they've looked overall. And they're crying about.
And you're right, Jason. It was the Miami fans that were pointing out their record against the Notre Dame's.
Absolutely. So thank you for letting me know at the beginning of the season when you beat a true freshman quarterback barely at home, you know, that, okay, yes, you beat Notre Dame head to head. Thank you. And then you've done nothing since then.
Yeah, Miami's got no reason to talk. I mean, for Miami, I mean, the door got left open, right? I mean, Georgia Tech lost last week, Virginia losing, Louisville losing. So the ACC, I don't know who they want to get in to that. You know, their ACC is getting one team in. That's it. Looks like the Big 12 the same. I mean, we didn't touch on it, Rome, but it was one of our big games to watch. Texas Tech just dismantling BYU. Put a whipping on them.
An ass whipping.
So Texas Tech has put an ass whipping on Utah, BYU. They lost the game against Arizona State a few weeks back, but they didn't have the quarterback in that one. But Arizona State's done now because their quarterback's out for the year.
Yeah.
So Texas Tech, you know, barring any kind of crazy setbacks, looks like they're going to win the Big 12. Really, really good team defensively, but offensively, I got a lot of questions about them. But they're going to probably get into the playoff, host a, you know, playoff game. Miami, like I said, the door's been left open with Georgia Tech losing last week, Virginia this week. They lost their quarterback to concussion, costing the game against Wake Forest.
A lot of critics were saying there is an opportunity for the ACC to get possibly two in there, because it is pretty deep this year. There's five teams in consideration.
They're consideration, but when you come to, you got an undefeated Ohio State, undefeated Indiana, undefeated Texas A&M. You got a bunch of one-loss SEC teams. You're going to have Notre Dame likely going 10-2. They're going to be a lock that goes in.
That Pittsburgh game's going to be tough.
For Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be...
Where's it at?
I think Pittsburgh.
I'll take Notre Dame right now, whatever the spread is. They'll beat Pittsburgh by double digits. I'm not worried about that.
But, yeah, I don't know how the ACC gets anyone in at this point. There's not a far and away team like last year when you had SMU, you know, lose the title game that got Clemson in, but you had to throw SMU in. Like, what, the highest ranked team right now in the top 25 for the ACC? Is it Miami? At 16?
Let me look here. No, Georgia Tech at 14.
Georgia Tech at 14. So, okay. So, Georgia Tech, I mean, that'd be your thing if Georgia Tech gets all the way to the ACC title game and then loses would be your,
I'd say this. Georgia Tech, the only way Georgia Tech, I think, gets in by losing an ACC game, I'm looking at their schedule, they finish at home with Pittsburgh and Georgia. And they still got Boston College. So if they could beat Pitt and Pitt keeps winning out and beats a Notre Dame,
yeah,
and they beat Georgia, then I could see Georgia Tech getting some leeway and maybe losing a conference championship game and getting in the playoff. But outside of that, I don't see it happening. Pittsburgh, I mean, they've played pretty well here lately. They've got what? Oh, that's the 9 o'clock start against Notre Dame. I'll check the weather there, but I like Notre Dame to just beat Pittsburgh pretty easily.
Pittsburgh on a 5-game winning streak round.
Unless
two.
Jason's picking them, then I guess we got to fade them in the college one. I think he's going to take Pittsburgh this week, and that way Notre Dame gets
reverse
the
jinx. It's a reverse jinx.
We do the reverse jinx. Yep.
I like it. Nah, Jason's due for a big week. Rome, you got 3 picks this week, so I think Jason's going to ride Notre Dame. They're going to get him back in. I like it.
Do you guys like the new rankings, top 25? Any critiques?
I still think Texas A&M being below Indiana is still iffy to me. I mean, it'll sort itself out probably.
A lot of people have Texas A&M above everybody else right now, but lots of shared sentiments.
Yeah, I don't know if they're above Ohio State because Ohio State's look really good. Indiana.
You're not buying Indiana now? Is it because of a close game against Penn State?
No, I've never really bought Indiana. I think the win versus Oregon, obviously their signature win. They blew out Illinois at the time, which we thought was a big game, but Illinois hasn't been great since. So, like, you know, there wasn't much from, you know, people are talking about the Notre Dame resume, you know, the Indiana resume right now.
Dude, people are breaking down Notre Dame resume right now on X.
100%. And I'm not here to defend that. I mean, Indiana's undefeated as they, and they should be ranked, you know, in the playoff where they're at. But that'd be the only thing. But I mean, you're splitting hairs there. At some point, you know, Indiana, Ohio State, Big Ten championship game, you know, potentially Texas A&M, you know, they're going to have, you know, some. You'll have a tough, they end the season in Texas and then the SEC championship game. So,
yeah, I don't have a problem with Indiana being ahead of Texas A&M. What's a bigger win, winning at Oregon or winning at Notre Dame? Because that's really those two marquee wins games Oregon. That you go. So I would lean towards winning at Oregon bigger than winning at Notre Dame, especially like Jason mentioned, gets a young quarterback early in the year. So I would give a slight edge to Indiana. Their schedule's pretty easy. Texas A&M is going to finish at Texas. I mean, if Texas can beat
Texas has a pretty tough schedule.
If they can beat Georgia and A&M down the stretch here, then I would say Texas gets in the playoff, lose to either one of those games, even if it's by a point, they're likely not going to get in the playoff. So Texas got everything ahead of them right now with Georgia at Georgia. That's the big primetime game this week.
I think we're getting a 3-team loss in the playoff this year for sure.
SEC probably could happen. I mean, you have 2 teams with pretty much gift schedules to end the season. Ole Miss, you know, they got Florida, Mississippi State.
Who they play this week?
They play the Citadel. Citadel this week. So they got all their hard games out of the way for the most part. And then you got a Florida and a Mississippi State team, which are both winnable for them. So you look at Ole Miss going 11-1, likely. Georgia kind of got things back on the rails versus Mississippi State, but they play Texas and Georgia Tech, so that'll be some tough games. Bama had a really tough schedule, and they went through the gauntlet in that kind of like that 4-game stretch.
Still got Oklahoma, though.
Yeah, they got Oklahoma, and then obviously a rival game with Auburn. But, I mean, Oklahoma, you know, they beat Oklahoma, you know, you're talking about Bama being 11-1 too. So there's probably one SEC team going 11-1 that's not going to be the SEC title game that just gets the free month bye or whatever, how many weeks that is. And then, like Aaron said, yeah, you could see Texas beating Texas A&M. I don't know where that shakes out for them going into the SEC title game, but there's some paths here where, I mean, am I going to be shocked if 5 SEC teams make it? You know, and one's a 3 loss because of some shenanigans? Probably not.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get 5 in. I mean, Ole Miss, their schedule lines up well. Georgia's got some tough games. Bama sets up good. Texas A&M.
Lane Kiffin signed his extension today.
And Oklahoma. So you got Oklahoma. Texas has that win over Oklahoma. So that's a big win. But if Oklahoma can go and beat Bama, that'd be a big win for them. And then maybe you could be looking at 5 teams from the SEC because the Big Ten was just the 3 teams, right? Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State. So that's, let's just say 4 of 3. That's 7.
I like Oklahoma, but 12, so. I just don't see them being a better team than Alabama. Alabama is just really riding the ship here. They look really good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you get the bye week, Oklahoma. So we'll see. I would lean towards Alabama beating him as well, but we'll see what the number is when it comes out. If it's not out, let me see if it's out.
Cool. Any final comments? College football. Congrats, Lane Kiffin, on the extension. He stays in Ole Miss.
How much did he sign for?
It's just a $4 million bump. He'll be making $12 million a year.
Keeps him till next year.
Well, I mean, this is the best time if you're going to leave now with all the jobs that are open. So, I mean, I think that leaves Coach Eli there at Missouri likely to go to Florida or LSU. I think, like I said, I think John Summerall from Tulane
Somebody was talking about Eli needing to take the next step. So, I like that.
All right. So here's some early lines for you, Rome, while we're talking college football. You got Texas is a 6-point underdog at Georgia. 6-point underdog Texas right now.
I'm taking that.
Notre Dame, like I figured, 10.5-point favorite at Pittsburgh. So, like I said, they'll win by at least double digits. So the bookmakers are already on that. They're listening to the show. Oklahoma +7 at Alabama. You can get Oklahoma +7. Early line.
Okay.
Let's see. Probably the big games there. Iowa travels to USC. Iowa +6.5 against USC.
That's intriguing. I like Iowa at the points of that. We'll break it all down later this week on Games of the Week. They'll do it for the weekend recap, at least for football.